Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is the word of the Lord.
As we start, let us pray. Father God, we give thanks for your word, and we just pray that you'll be with us, give us wisdom and discernment as we look at this passage together, Lord. Give us open ears, open hearts, open minds to hear what you have to say to each one of us this morning. Amen. You might want to have the passage open in front of you as we look at it together. As we've already said, we're starting our summer series today looking at the book of Proverbs, a really practical, helpful book in the Bible. But what is a proverb? Well, I started by looking at the dictionary definition, which says, proverb, a short, popular saying, usually of unknown and ancient origin, that expresses effectively some commonplace truth or useful thought, an adage. A wise saying, too many cooks spoil the broth. It's like looking for a needle in a haystack. Ne'er cast a clout till May is out. We probably all have these familiar phrases that we have known all our lives, and usually used by older relatives to make a point when we get things wrong, or as a word of caution as we might be about to make a mistake. But I love this book of Proverbs, full of short, pithy phrases and sayings, so different to other books in the Bible. But the word proverb in Hebrew goes much further than the dictionary definition. Yes, they are wise sayings, but the word can also be translated as oracle, taunt, and parable. So broader and more challenging than the familiar phrases that we grew up with. So today we're going to look at the very beginning of this book, which sets out its purpose and how we should use it. And in doing so, come to understand what is the heart of wisdom. One of the reasons I love Proverbs is it is a very practical book. It's all about godly wisdom, how to get it and how to use it. It helps us understand what our priorities and principles should be in our everyday lives. These first seven verses reveal the whole book's purpose. It was written to teach wisdom, to teach us how to apply wisdom to our lives. It's not simply a theoretical book. In these few verses, we see what the book of Proverbs is for. But I also think it's a great guide for the Bible as a whole. It tells us that it's practical, those first verses 2 and 3, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behaviour. It's moral. It's about doing what is right and just and fair. It's for all people. Whether we are simple or wise, young or old, experienced or inexperienced. It's also intellectual. It adds to our learning. And it is probing, helps understand proverbs and parables and the sayings and riddles of the wise. So how do we find and get this wisdom? Well, the quest for wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Verse 7 reads, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." This final verse is the key verse in our passage, so we're going to have a look at that first. Knowledge and wisdom are inextricably linked here. Knowledge focuses on the correct understanding of the world and ourselves as part of God's creation, and wisdom is the acquired skill of applying that knowledge correctly. The skill in the art of godly living. It's quite a challenge, isn't it? We've got a huge amount to learn, and then we've got to put it into practice. And this all begins with the fear of the Lord. I always thought this was quite an odd phrase. God loves us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us, for our sins. He's a merciful and loving God. He is gracious and will bless us way beyond we deserve. And yet here we're being told to fear him. We need to fear the Lord in order to become knowledgeable and wise. Fearing God feels so counterintuitive. Surely we have nothing to be afraid of. Or actually, should we be really afraid because we know that one day we will be judged? We fear God's retribution for our sins and all the things that we have done wrong. It's not either of those. And ironically, the fool, those that despise wisdom and instruction, those who turn from God, the ones who don't believe, they're the ones who should fear the Lord in that way, but they don't. Fear of the Lord is not the sort of fear we get from watching Nordic noir dramas. When will those Scandinavian police learn to go into a dark basement with more than just a torch armed for protection? Or the fear we have when we go on a roller coaster? Or the fear children might have if they think there are monsters under the bed? It's none of those. There's a great illustration in the fear of the Lord in C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Mr. and Mrs. Beaver are preparing the children to meet Aslan for the first time, and they explain who he is. Aslan is a lion, the great lion. "Oh," said Susan, "I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "That you will, dearie, and make no mistake," says Mrs. Beaver. "If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they are either braver than most or else just silly." "Then he isn't safe," said Lucy. "Safe?" said Mr. Beaver. "Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you." Fear of the Lord is fear based on our reverence, our respect, our awe and admiration, our worship of God. Yes, we may be nervous when we come into God's presence, particularly if we've done something wrong, but we know God is good. If we approach him knowing our weakness, knowing we have done wrong, seeking forgiveness, then we have nothing to fear. And our reverence and respect leads us to be obedient to God, choosing to live in a way that pleases him and brings him glory. If we put God front and centre of our lives, then we will start to think and act more wisely. We start to think that, is this what God would want me to do? Is this God's plan for me? When I was preparing this sermon, David shared one of his shorthands that helps him understand the phrase, the fear of God, and I also found it really helpful. And it's the statement, "When God is first in my life." That's quite a challenge, isn't it? When God is first in my life. When do we put God first? Do we put God first? How often? When do we go off and do our own thing, thinking we know more than God, that we know better than he does for ourselves? The challenge for us every day is to put God first in our lives. We need that desire to put God first in order for us to then have a desire for the knowledge that will make us wise to live according to his will. And that desire, that knowledge for knowledge and wisdom, begins with our fear of the Lord. Our desire to want to live obediently. Our reverence is the starting point to want to learn. And with that knowledge comes wisdom. I love verse 11 in Psalm 34. It reads, "Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Isn't that a great encouragement? We can be taught. Like children who have to learn everything about how to live, we can learn the fear of the Lord and therefore how we should live in obedience to his will. Think about what you would do if you wanted to gain knowledge and understanding about how to do something. I remember in guides learning how to map read and use a compass. There were books to read, there was exercises to try, there were other guides and leaders who were much more experienced from me that I could learn from. And I learned a huge amount, And when I started my Duke of Edinburgh's award, it meant I was much better prepared, and I tended not to get lost when hiking, not always. But we are discerning about where we go to gain knowledge in our everyday lives, for the practical things. But are we as discerning in learning about God and what it means to live according to his will, live a life obedient to him? The book of Proverbs is there to help us gain that insight and knowledge as to how to live. And we also have the whole Bible and what Jesus taught us. Our go-to place to gain knowledge and understanding of how we should live as Christians comes from the Bible. And we can also learn from those more mature Christians around us. But we do need to be discerning in who we listen to. Our teaching here at St. Patrick's is grounded in the Bible. Everyone who stands here, where I am, bases what they say in the Bible. You don't have to simply believe what we tell you. You can check it out for yourselves. And we need to just be careful when we look elsewhere, when we're listening to other people or looking at stuff on the internet. Where do speakers get their knowledge and wisdom from? Are what they're saying grounded in the Bible, or is it just their own thoughts and ideas? We gain our knowledge primarily in the Bible, but there are other places we can learn. I find my home group a really great place to ask questions and learn more as we study the Bible together. There's the Christianity Explored course, a really fantastic way to gain that knowledge about what it means to put God first, and a really safe place to ask lots of questions. But what do we do with all this knowledge and wisdom that we're gaining? And as I said, the book of Proverbs is a very practical book. So it's not one that just presents the theory to us. Wisdom shouldn't just be what we think, it's in what we do. It's not just about what we say, it's about our actions, how we see our lives. Do we live in a prudent way that is practical, sensible, wise? Do we do what is just and right and fair? Or is it easier to follow the crowd and not stand out as different? Think about why we are tempted to go off and do what is not right and just and fair. Often, it's because we think for ourselves that things will go better. I know best. But when we know that God made and rules the universe, and he is always right and just and fair, we know that in the end, living as he wants will give us a much better outcome. And as we learn more from the Bible, our behaviour will change. We will live obedient to God. We will live doing what is right and just and fair. Our behaviour will become more wise and careful, and people should see a difference. Recently at work, I had a member of my team wanting me to do something against an HR policy. I refused. I checked the policy and I knew my decision was right and fair. She wasn't happy with the outcome. So she went to my director, who wouldn't get involved. She then threatened to go to the HR board member and to the unions. It was a really scary time, but I knew as a Christian I couldn't just give in. I had to act in a way that was right and fair. Other members of the team knew what was happening, and they saw that I acted with integrity and fairness. You know, they did say to me, why don't you just give her what she wants? It'll be much easier. Well, it might have been much easier in the short term, but it would have sent completely the wrong message to everyone else. People can't be seen that using bullying and threatening behaviour, they get what they want. And if I have to make a hard decision, the team need to know that I will treat them all in the same fair way, even if it's not the easiest and even if it's not the outcome they want. Reflecting back, I realised that it's my fear of the Lord that drove that behaviour. I was tempted to take the easy way out, it wouldn't have been the right way. I would have acted being disobedient to God's will. I wouldn't have acted wisely. When I'm in that sort of situation, I need to remember that however difficult, however painful it is, I know that my good and loving God will rescue me and reward me for doing what he wants, even if I have to wait a long time. So we have seen that knowledge and wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord and what that means. We've seen how this knowledge isn't just a head thing, but it's a practical thing too. It's about what we do, how we use this knowledge. So who is it for? I don't know about you, but I always tend to think that knowledge and wisdom are for other people. people who are more intelligent, more talented, and much cleverer than me. And wisdom, surely that's for people much, much older than I am. I'm still far too young to be wise. But as we look at this passage, we see that knowledge and wisdom is for everyone. You can fail every exam you ever took and be wise. And you can have a PhD from Cambridge and be a fool. This knowledge and wisdom is simply trusting God and his work and deciding to live for him. And verses 4-6 help really helpfully set it out. It's for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. This knowledge and wisdom is for all of us, from the youngest to the oldest. The ESV Study Bible explains that the use of the word simple here means somebody who is not firmly committed, either to wisdom or to folly. They are easily misled. The trouble is that he does not apply himself to the discipline needed to gain and grow in wisdom. So it doesn't mean somebody who isn't very clever or intelligent. It's actually someone I can recognise in myself in times in my life when I haven't been fully committed, when I've been easily misled, or times when I can't be bothered to read my Bible to learn more. We need that discipline and desire to gain knowledge if we are to grow in wisdom and to live obedient lives. And the young doesn't just mean young in age, but it means the inexperienced, those who are new to their Christian faith. They need the Bible to help in their learning. Without that, they won't know what it means to live an obedient life. They won't know how to change lives, their lives, according to God's will. They won't know the fear of the Lord. The wise, they're the more mature Christians. We don't get the luxury of sitting back and saying, I'm done, I'm wise now. We still have lots to learn. We still need guidance to understand what the Bible says. I really love how when I read a familiar passage, I'm suddenly struck by something new in it. I never stop learning when I read my Bible. We need discernment to understand what God is saying to us through the Proverbs and the parables. And the exciting thing is, this will never, ever end. We still have so much more to learn about God. We'll never reach a point where we know everything and can simply say, I'm done. All of us can take a step in our walk with God, a new step towards learning a little more. The simple, the youthful, the wise, whether we are unlearned or inexperienced or we're filled with wisdom, discipline and insight. We all have room to grow and we can all grow together. I want to finish in a moment, but I just want to read you the same passage, but from the Message translation. It says, these are the wise sayings of Solomon, David's son, Israel's king, written down so we'll all know how to live well and right, to understand what life means and where it's going. A manual for living, for learning what's right and just and fair, to teach the inexperienced the ropes and give our young people a grasp on reality. There's something here also for seasoned men and women, still a thing or two for the experienced to learn. Fresh wisdom to probe and penetrate the rhymes and reasons of wise men and women. Start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. This passage relates to the book of Proverbs, but really it applies to the whole Bible. That is our manual for living. That is where we get our knowledge and wisdom. That is where, through living in fear of the Lord, we live a joy-filled life in awe of our amazing God, worshipping him through everything we say and do. And that is what is at the heart of wisdom. So let us pray. Lord God, help us to live lives that bring you glory. As we live in the fear of the Lord, give us a thirst for knowledge and a desire to change our lives to be obedient to you. We ask for your wisdom to discern your ways and path for our own lives. We ask for your wisdom to discern how we deal with others we meet, we live with, we work with, and are with daily. We ask for your wisdom in difficult situations we may have to deal with as we go through life. And we ask for your wisdom that not only enlightens us, but transforms us and guides us in our daily walk with you. Amen.